The morality of human acts. Man's unique nature, which makes him superior to all other visible creatures, comes from his intellect and will. Created in the image and likeness of God, he is free to make decisions. But being a creature, his freedom has to be exercised in harmony with the will of God and with the will of other persons. This is what the commandments are for. They show the path to freedom by ordering its use so that it is harmonized with other people's freedom, thereby becoming true freedom. Consequently, though he may enjoy psychological and physical freedom, man has the duty to obey legitimate commandments. He is not morally free to obey or to disobey them. In the absence of such a commandment, he is free to decide as he wishes. Thus, man has to educate his freedom so as to use it correctly. He must act, exercising his intellect and will, but in accordance with an objective and transcendent norm that directs and governs his conduct. Morality is a quality of freely exercised human acts. An act will be morally good if it concords with the norm that governs man as a rational being, and morally bad if man acts irrationally against that norm. Sources of morality. Simple experience tells us that man knows if his acts are good or bad. How? The inner voice of his conscience tells him that good has to be done and evil avoided. But this voice presupposes the conviction that there is a law inscribed within us. If we follow this law, our act is good, and if we oppose it, our act is bad. In order to determine in a simple way the morality of our acts, experts teach that it depends on the object, the end, and the circumstances. The object chosen is what the will is attracted to. This object can be considered as the matter of the human act. But there are things that are always good in themselves and others that are always bad in themselves. For example, to take the life of an innocent man is always a crime, though sometimes it is covered up with cynical euphemisms. On the contrary, adoring God is always a good act in itself. The end or the intention of the act can modify the morality of an act because a good act done with a bad intention changes the act into a bad one. The end does not justify the means. The circumstances also affect the morality by increasing or diminishing the good or bad quality of an act. But they can never make good an act which is evil in itself, no matter what the circumstances are. Therefore, in order that an act be morally good, it is necessary that the object, the end, and the circumstances be good. If one of these three is bad, the act is bad. It would be wrong to discern the morality of human acts only from the intention or the circumstances, environment, peer pressure, intimidation, or the necessity of acting, etc. There are acts that, in themselves and apart from the circumstances and the intention, are seriously illicit because of their object and intention. It is a firm moral principle that you cannot do evil to obtain something good. Funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line for dreams. Head over heels, went toe-to-toe. The morality of passions. The human being has all sorts of impulses, tendencies, affections, and feelings, known as passions, which God has put in nature so as to move it to act. Because of sin, these impulses are disordered and cause tension, but if controlled, they are very useful. It is like water collected in a dam. It is a source of life and energy, but if the dam bursts, it can be catastrophic. The principal passions are love and hatred, desire and fear, joy, sadness and anger. The passions, insofar as they are movements of the sensible appetite, are neither good nor bad in themselves. They are good when they contribute to a good action, and they are evil in the opposite case. it can be assumed by virtues or perverted by vices. To live always facing God. It is not easy to dominate our passions, keeping them under the control of reason with a firm and ordered freedom. But it is necessary to do so if we wish to live with the dignity of a human person, and furthermore, with the dignity of a Christian who knows he is a son of God. We need a strong will and to struggle constantly, but above all, we need God's grace, which the Holy Spirit grants abundantly to those who ask for it. Then we behave well because the object, the end, and the circumstances of our acts are good, in spite of our passions. Or rather, because we have dominion over our passions, we are not led by them. The Council of Trent quotes some advice from Saint Augustine, which could help us in our struggle to control our passions, so as to use them in accordance with divine providence. God does not command anything impossible. When he commands, he expects you to do what you can, to ask for what you cannot, and he helps you so that you can do it. Then the Holy Spirit helps us so that everything is for God, including pain, fear, and grief, as can be seen in Christ's Passion. Living in Christ, our human feelings can be perfected as charity. Resolutions for Christian life. If you are unsure that you are acting well, ask yourself if the object, end, and circumstances are good. At times, we have to be heroic, without letting ourselves be dominated by the circumstances and the environment, which never justify immoral conduct.